right, folks. Good morning. Welcome back. We are going to try to be live this morning. This is your Colorado-based host, one of them anyway, Mark Call, and still trying to get David on the line. I know he's out there, and we'll get him here eventually. So meanwhile, I will get started, and I'll just say welcome to Drive Time Friday. As soon as we get David on, we got several things we want to talk about. But honestly, I think the thing that's first and foremost on my mind has to do with why the blankety-blanket, you know what, won't people speak up when their children are being destroyed, when their lives are being destroyed, when their country is being invaded, and they sit around and they put up with it. And in particular this week, I'm going to throw this out. Oh, I think David's on. Then I'll get going, but I don't want to have to repeat it, so I want him to hear it. You there, David? Good morning. We'll get his audio here in a second. I'm not hearing you, but I'm seeing you. David? Okay. Let's see if we can't get him some audio. He's not muted. David, if you can hear me, send me a little bit of a note in the window, and I'll know that you're at least listening and can hear us. All right. Well, I guess this is part of the issue that we have. A bunch of wonderful tools that are being destroyed by people who are either incompetent or worse, are trying to make sure that things don't work the way that they're supposed to. And I'm still not seeing any response. He looks like he's in the window, but that's all I'm seeing here. There we go. I heard something.
Can you hear me?
Ah, now I can.
Yeah. Hello.
All right. I think you're on.
Yeah, I'm on.
All right. So
can you hear me now? All right.
So good morning, David. I was fixing to opine about a couple of things. Obviously, the world is in a mell of a hess. And I guess what really bugs me, and this is kind of a front and center in my heart of late, is something that it's been an issue for a long time, but I think now probably more than ever. I did the Come Out of Her My People show last evening, had good friend Daniel Holdings on, and we were talking about some of the issues. But we're coming up on the fall feasts. And I had occasion to put some information in some, I guess you'd call them nominally Christian sites that claim to have a biblical worldview. And what happened was kind of interesting, not really surprising, but it boiled down to, well, you can't say that, okay? We can talk about some parts of Scripture, but not other parts of Scripture. And if you dare to suggest that somebody not doing what Scripture says in the way of working on the Day of Atonement is a problem, well, you know, that might offend some folks. And I'm thinking, have you ever read that book? You know, he said, that fellow that they claim to be their savior, they don't even know his real name. He said, a whole lot of people are going to be offended at me and what I'm saying. And the answer is, he was right. And they claim to follow him, and yet they will let their children be injected with poison. They will allow their children to be taught transgenderism and to be told that, oh, you know what the Creator said in Deuteronomy 22, they're paying no attention to that. We're not only going to let them cross-dress, we're going to tell them that you're a little man in a woman's clothing, so cut off your breasts, or you have to cut off your genitalia, and we'll inject you with drugs. David, I am mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, but I hope that people will wake up and realize, you know, we're coming up on a time of the fall feasts. And if people aren't even willing to say, maybe I should count to 10 after the day of Yom Teruah, and maybe I should do what the Creator says, and have a little bit of fasting, or at least try to afflict my nefesh, my soul, whatever that means, to the head of house, and see if maybe something I can't be guided into what I need to do, like come out of her. Anyway, so that's my daily rant. But I hope that people will begin to say, you know what, things are really going to hell in a handbasket, and we don't need to go with it. Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, that's a rant, all right. We don't know who we are, and therein lies our problem. When we read Scripture, we don't read it from a place of knowing who we are. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished unto us, that we would be called the children of God, brothers of Yeshua. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And if we don't understand and we don't comprehend this, then we get caught up in the religious institutional dogma that the churches of Babylon, the world churches, subscribe and promote and perpetuate the lies. The narrative that they project onto the truth is why it's the babble. And everything else is a narrative about that one truth. Yeshua came to demonstrate who we are. He came to restore to us the knowledge of who we are and our relationship to the world. And you know what? Everyone that goes along to get along doesn't understand, doesn't comprehend the who we are. It all comes back to who we are. And so now, as the world falls apart, as the world goes down this transgender road and this vaccine road, what we're witnessing is the culmination of a narrative and an attempt to control that narrative. And we, inside that narrative, we can't find the truth. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, you know, as you were speaking there, I was reminded of a verse. It turns out it appears more times than I would have thought, where Yeshua says, "Hey, I came to bring a sword." And yes, the sword is, among other things, the sharp double-edged sword of his word. But the problem is, those people that will proclaim, "Oh, I follow Jesus," and let's all be happy clappy. We don't want anybody actually pointing out the things that he actually said here, because those might be offensive to somebody. We're supposed to love everybody, even while they stand by and watch their children be injected with poison and have their genitalia cut off. And David, that is just downright. Go ahead.
The truth is offensive if
you got
you're
it.
Caught up in the narrative, because the truth isn't friendly to the narrative. The truth is the word. The word is truth. Reality is offensive inside of a narrative because it makes those inside of the narrative uncomfortable, and they accuse the truth teller of hate. How can you be so offensive? Why don't you just plug in and go along with our program? Because your program is completely adversarial to the truth, okay?
And to life.
Here's the thing. We're the children of the Creator, the supreme ruler, the one, the all, whatever you want, the one who is the author of our faith. That reality does not fit into a narrative. It is a reality that we have to surrender to, and then when we surrender to it, the Father works through us to do His will. Our Father, grace is our Father working us to do His will. Okay, so here we are now at a time in history when we get to watch the world's narrative fall apart, and the only thing that will be left when this world narrative falls apart is the truth. The question is, will you recognize the truth, or will you be caught up in the narrative and fail and commit suicide or go along with it until there's nothing left to go along with, and find yourself completely confused and alone and scared, because that's the world of the narrative, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay, well, and I don't disagree with the narrative thing at all, but I think it even gets to be more basic than that. As a matter of fact, we're coming up on the Torah portion for the annual Torah portion cycle of Deuteronomy 30, one of my favorite chapters in the whole book, essentially, where he says, hey, here's what I would refer to as the two-word summary of the entire book. Choose life. I've laid before you this day life and blessing, death.
Choose life.
Choose life. And what we're seeing, and this is the narrative, if you will, that people don't want to acknowledge, the choice that's being laid out for people is choose death. They're literally teaching kids in school, choose death.
Yes.
They're literally telling people on the commercials. I heard one at the top of the hour on this station. Choose death. Hey, did you know that most people who die of COVID are over 50? No, most people have taken the damn vaccine because they have not the love of the truth, and they don't understand. And this is the thing we need to speak up and say, because people are being killed. I started, David, by saying, you know, they could read the part of the book, Leviticus 23, where he literally says, hey, you know, this feast on this 10th day, this Day of Atonement, if you do any work on that day, I want you to know, I'm not only going to cut you off from among your people, that person, and I'm quoting, will I destroy. Huh? Well, maybe he's serious about some things. I'm not under the law, Mark, anymore. I'm not under the law. My kids are. They're taking the poison poke because I want them to get educated to choose death. What kind of idiocy are we dealing with here? And I guess what I'm suggesting, David, is, you know, we've been speaking and talking and we've talked about the narrative, but we are literally at the point where here we are at a cusp and people have a chance over the next 10 days, or a little more than that at this point, but certainly the next couple of weeks, to begin to return to him and say, you know what, if I can't even keep something simple, like, to the best of my ability, like honor what he says in his word, keep his Sabbaths, maybe don't do any work at least on that Day of Atonement, why would I expect my kids to have life? What kind of a man am I watching over my house? And it's funny, this site that I was referring to, it's all about, men have to be men, and men have to do that. Well, then men ought to act like men and read the word and do what he says. Don't tell me you're a man of the house when you won't even protect your children from the kind of stuff that's intended to kill them, if you can't make the right choice for yourself. Go ahead.
The horror of Babylon is distinguished in the book of Revelation. And she has a cup in her hand, and her cup is, her cup represents her destiny, and her destiny is the people who partake in her cup are drunk with the wine of her iniquity. Iniquity is the opposite of truth. Okay, so when the saints drink out of her cup, the saints are then drunk with the wine of her iniquity. And here's the point in this is we don't even know we're doing it. We are so caught up in the narrative of the world. We want to trust the doctors. We want to trust the preachers in the pulpits. We want to trust the academia. We want to trust the politics. And so we place our trust in the wine that is in the cup of her abominations, and we become blinded because we're not really interested in the truth. Here's the thing, we're not interested in the truth. The truth is uncomfortable. The truth divides. The truth separates. The truth is a lonely walk. You get rejected by the world, and nobody likes to do that. And so we go along to get along, and then we find ourselves in this situation where now we're letting our kids cut their breasts off. That's how far we're willing to go. We're willing to let our sons get their thing cut off so that we can go along with the narrative of the world, so that we can be acceptable, so that we have this appearance of righteousness. And see, going along to get along has never benefited anybody. And if you look at the scripture, you find that we're not supposed to go that way. We're supposed to stand apart from the crowd. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be strangers on earth. And we are, this is, I'm going back right to where I began. We don't know who we are. And if we don't know who we are, we don't know how to trust the one that made us who we are, Mark.
Okay. Well, you know, I agree with you, David, but I think it might even be a little simpler than that. There's been a psyop going on for a long time, and I can't help but think, it's not that people just simply aren't willing to stand up for the truth, for crying out loud. They're concerned that if I put something up there that's out of scripture that points to something that's, not popular, I won't get likes. Because I've been conditioned. I got to have likes on two Facebook and all my little socialist media platforms. And I don't really care about whether my kids have their genitalia cut off. But if I don't get a like by saying that, it's important that we all love the transgenders and be happy clappy, then that would be the worst thing I could have. What do you say to people basically that have been so dumbed down that they, and by the way, I realize we're preaching to the choir here to a certain extent, but here's the problem, David. Everybody listening, I know, has people, loved ones, friends, family, coworkers, they're dealing with that this is precisely the case, and they watch them literally do things that are stupid unto death, and they say, it's kind of a shame, isn't it? We ought to blow the shofar at least. Now, if they're determined, bound and determined to kill themselves, I can't stop them. But I can at least go to my reward or whatever it is, knowing that when the time came to blow the shofar, I blew the shofar. And if they chose to choose death, then their death is on their own heads. Their blood is on their own head. And the same goes for their children. They don't love them enough, I guess, to care about whether or not they're taught the truth or taught literally lies that will get them killed.
So the along with not knowing who we are, our identity, along with that, we think of following Yeshua as a matter of going to heaven after we die, and that's what we think, and that's where we limit our being, not realizing that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within us. It's the here and now. It's what is happening in our life right now. And now we're experiencing the right now with an intruder in the adversary coming in and attempting to pollute our understanding of reality. So to the degree that we buy into that, we are given over to the blindness that comes with not knowing that we are, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished under us, that we are the children of God. It really, it's not knowing that, not letting that in is the problem, and why it's easy for so many people to go along and get their identity from the world, Mark.
Okay. Well, so, Let's pause just for a second. I know one of the things we like to do here on this show is talk about the things that are going on, the things we can do. I literally didn't even go to some of the news this week. The news is just simply kind of a litany of things that happen when people don't care anymore. For example, we saw that Vladimir Putin came out and said the quiet part out loud. He said, you know what, y'all keep pushing like this, and we have nuclear weapons. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Then he added he wasn't joking. He wasn't bluffing. And what did we hear on the news? We heard, uh-oh, Vladimir Putin threatens tactical nukes against Ukraine. And it's a lie. That's not what he said. What he has threatened, what he has said he would do, is to hit the decision-making centers. And I hope he knows where the decision-making centers really are if he's going to do that. But the point is, they're not even telling you the truth about what people who've had enough are saying that actually have the ability to do something about it. My concern, David, is the following. I watch all of this, and I see the indications. You know, the invasion continues at the southern border. They're still pushing the lie about the vaccine. They're still trying to kill 100 million, several billion people if they truly get away with what they've planned. And yet, what are we going to do? We're going to go out and see the Biden-Fuhrer smite all of those that recognize the election was stolen. Oh, but don't worry. We'll fix it come November. Yeah, this time around, it'll be different. We haven't changed a blankety-blanking thing, but all of a sudden, it'll be different. No, it won't. Who are we kidding? And that's the part that's so frustrating. I suspect, David, and here's one of the things that bothers me, and it's part of the reason I think we speak up now. It's not enough that there'll be an invasion, that the dollar is literally dead man walking, and it's due for the comeuppance, along with the stock market that it so richly deserves. It's that when people finally realize how badly they've been had, those few that are left will be angry enough to go out and make the bloodbath of the French Revolution look tame by comparison. But in fact, they could have said something before that. Go ahead.
The reason the French Revolution looked like a bloodbath is because they didn't make truth their foundation.
You got it.
Now, arguably, I can make the argument for you. And arguably, the Jefferson et al., who wrote the Declaration of Independence, founded America on the idea that there is a truth, and the truth is God. And the, like, for example, the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. So they were distinguishing truth when they laid a foundation, and when they indicted the King of England, and they indicted the British Parliament, they leveled accusations against them and told those accusations to the world and said to the world, world, these people aren't worthy of our allegiance because they're criminals, all right? That's what America is founded on. Now, how do we know they're criminals? Because there's a law. There's law. And this idea that we're set free from the law, that is the most asinine, that's the most
You got it.
Stupid thing anybody can believe, because law is an expression of principle, and you cannot escape principle. And so laws are to be adhered with and followed and trusted to lead us as a schoolmaster, to lead us into all righteousness, to lead us into the fulfillment of who we are. Okay, so we can't get it right in our own lives. We can't get it right as a nation. We don't understand that the Biden Fuhrer has violated the law every step of the way. He's not even running this country. It's the committee that's running the country. He's just the puppet, and we all know it, and the media is going along with it, and they're pretending that it's all okay, and the churches appear to be pretending that it's all okay, and the people are confused because they're told that we're supposed to submit and obey to our leaders. Well, what happens when our leaders become criminals? Well, then we go back to the Declaration of Independence. Look what our founding fathers did in this context. They indicted them and they walked away. They separated. And that's what scripture tells us that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come out of her, my people, and be separate. All right, so if the truth isn't being followed, if the law is being rejected, and if the leaders of the country are not complying with law, we're not supposed to be buying in and giving our consent to corruption. And yet, so many disciples have given their minds over to that very thing, and think that there's some sort of righteousness in complying and going along with that, Mark.
Well, it's the consent of the slaves. I think that's in the Declaration somewhere, isn't it? That government depends on the consent of the slaves? Or maybe did I get that from one of the modern textbooks of the BLM Antifa crowd? It's, David, you're right. I mean, go ahead.
Where's governments derive their just power from consent of the governed, okay?
Okay.
So consent is a form. Compliance is consent. If you comply, you're consenting. It's not about words, it's about action. And so we've been manipulated into this ideology that we're supposed to obey, and therein lies our biggest problem is there comes a time when we're not supposed to obey, we're supposed to separate, and that's the foundation, and that's what a nation built upon God. Benjamin Franklin said that rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God, all right? So you could call me a rebel, but relatively speaking, my allegiance is to the truth and to my Father, to Yeshua, my kingdom of heaven. But relative to the world, that looks like rebellion. And they killed Yeshua for that. They killed his followers for that, because they were turning the entire world upside down because they didn't buy into the narrative, Mark.
Yep. So here's where I want to try to go today, David. We can talk about some of the other news stories as we go along here. Honestly, I look back at the week and there's very little that was actually new news. Let me throw out a couple. Here's a headline or two. I talked about these earlier on the news show. Here's one from Dr. Naomi Wolf, a well-known leftist who has come a heck of a long ways towards the truth from her upbringing. She wrote a piece called Destroying Women, Poisoning Breast Milk, Murdering Babies, and Hiding the Truth. And essentially, it's all about the poison poke and the carnage that's being done to people's reproductive system, to babies that are being stillborn, aborted in utero. You know, it's no surprise. Who needs a morning after pill when you've got Moderna and Pfizer? So there's that. There is a pediatric clinic at Vanderbilt University, once a respected medical college, I guess, VUMC, which is now saying, oops, they nuked their website after Matt Walsh exposed the big money maker in their so-called transgender surgeries. And then they've been literally coercing people not to come forward with it. So on every front, what we're seeing are things that, let's just be clear here, the Bible calls these things abominations. And we'll pick it up there with the I see the very moon rising. back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, and your host here, one of them anyway, will admit it. I was downright angry this morning after I saw some of the stuff that's up. It's not like we shouldn't have been angry for a long time, but there comes a point at which at least we ought to say, come on, can't even so-called Christians, and I guess the answer is no. If they're worshiping at the wrong altar, why would we expect them to get anything right? But they won't even read what is written in the book. My concern is the following, David, and the term, I'll mention this, and I think we can come back to it, is to move the Overton window. Okay, now, the Overton window is this thing that I guess a fellow named Overton came up with, and it suggests that there's a limit to polite discussion, right? What they call the right and the left and the center. The center, by definition, is always in the middle of the Overton window. And, of course, if you want to move society to a place of abomination, you have to move the Overton window. So things that would have been considered absolutely unthinkable just a little while ago become, kind of right of center now. And as we move the Overton window towards abomination, we can get away with ever worse stuff to the point where, eventually we can just ship people off to concentration camps and execute them. But wait! Oh, no! We can do better still. We'll just get Fauci flu, and then we'll inject them, and we don't have to move them anywhere. They can die right there on the soccer field. So my concern is this. We've moved the Overton window to the point where things that are called abomination in Scripture, several examples come to mind. The idea of transgenderism. And the Bible just talks about a man putting on things that pertain to a woman, pretending he's a woman when he's a man. Doesn't talk about cutting it off. But a man lying with a man is with a woman. There are a number of things, all of which are called abomination, many of which carry the death penalty. And those are now taught in schools to kids. I think there's something wrong there. And that's what happened when you allow the Overton window to be moved so far to the wrong side that the center isn't even remotely scriptural anymore. Go ahead. I know you've got some other things you want to talk about today, too.
Oh, well, I want to stay on the Overton window thing. Okay, so I think the Overton window represents acceptable and unacceptable speak. It represents a group speak that's deemed okay. You can talk within the scope of this. If you talk outside the scope of that, you know, you're bad, mean, wicked, awful, nasty, whatever. Okay? So there's this go along to get along center of the Overton window where everybody goes along with the mainstream and everybody's comfortable and nobody thinks because they've been told what's okay to think. And if you don't think what's comfortable, then you know, you're bad, like I said, being wicked, nasty, you're awful. Okay, so what's been happening is, okay, the Overton window, if we begin at its conception, distinguishes the narrative projected onto the truth. Okay? And it represents the collective of society at any given time as to what constitutes reality. And the more center you are inside the Overton window, the more you accept the reality that's been imposed on us by the Overton window. Again, the control of thought, the control of words, the control of ideas.
The more Twitter followers you get.
Which are shared.
The more Twitter followers you get. I'm sorry, I just tried to interject one simple thing. The more Twitter followers you get, and the more likes you get on to Facebook.
So anyway, the Overton window then. Now, okay, so this is what the globalists are up to, okay? This is the thing. They are destroying the Overton window because they're going outside the parameters of the window and introducing pedophilia and transsexualism, you know, and transhumanism and transgenderism and trans, you know, they're breaking the narrative. Because they've lost control of the narrative inside the Overton window. See?
No, wait a second.
They're all criminals, and now they're busted, okay? So inside the Overton window, they're exposed, and so they have to go outside the Overton window and create a new reality, a new narrative, and that's what they've done. This with the sex, the gender, and all that. And now the people that are inside the Overton window have a choice. They can stay inside and indict the people that are trying to redefine the narrative of reality. Or they can stay inside the Overton window and begin to ask the question, okay, Father, what is the truth? And let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. And it begins by adherence to the law, as you point out. It begins somewhere. But see, we live in a lawless society that has just rejected the law. The lawyers reject the law when it's inconvenient. The church rejects the law when it's inconvenient. And we've come to live inside that comfortable Overton window. Now you're coming along and telling me different, Mark. Oh, man. That's uncomfortable. Sorry.
Well, okay.
Right, so there's my soapbox.
But I'll disagree just a little bit. Now, you make, I think, a really valid point. They haven't just moved the Overton window, they've jerked it. But I will suggest that, no, the point of the Overton window, the reason why it's the PSYOP types that talk about it is because their goal has been to move it. And, David, they have succeeded in moving the window to the point where those people who think Scripture still matters are now outside the window. They can't even talk about it. You can't quote those Scriptures.
The reason they could move it, Mark, is because they had control of it.
You got it.
That's why they can move it, okay? They had, as long as they had control of it, they didn't need to move it, okay? But now they're busted inside their own game. And they've got to move it because that's their only way to survive. And so it's a matter of survival to redefine the Overton window. And so that's why it's so outside of our realm of comprehension. We're not familiar with it. It's not comfortable. And so that's what we're faced with is the, do we go along with it even though it's uncomfortable? Because that's what everybody's doing. I mean, everybody's getting a vax. I mean, are you weird that you're not getting a vax? What is it with you anyway? Well, you're just going to go poison the rest of us because you're not getting your vaccine? I actually, you know. Sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
No, you're right, David. That's the point. And so, so maybe there's two Overton windows. Maybe the one's been moved so far we don't recognize it anymore. But I'll put it this way. Actually, I believe that I was given this little bit of direction from the Ruach earlier today. And it basically boiled down to, you know, the prophets have a message. It's make teshuva, turn around, you're going the wrong way. But in the modern parlance, it's, hey, your job is to move the Overton window back. And that's the problem. We got a lot of people.
Our job, you know what?
Go ahead.
You know what our job is? Our job is to destroy the Overton window.
All right, I'll buy
entirely.
It. Destroy that one.
Okay? And move toward the truth and let truth be, again, like I began, the Overton window is in itself a narrative about the truth. When we come into the truth of who we are, we won't be talking about the Overton window. We'll be talking about the amazing things that we're doing because we're walking in the Spirit of Christ. And you see, that is truth, but that's an uncomfortable conversation to the degree that you're stuck in the Overton window. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, and I think that takes me back to some of the things, some of the beef, if you will, that I have with the whore church and with those who go along to get along. The happy, clappy, name it and claim it, love everybody crowd. And essentially the problem is they're not willing to take a stand. They're not willing to say, here's what the book says. The book says that the things that people are doing and trying to teach to my kids, and they want to tax my property and make me pay for, and I'm not going to do it. Oh, wait a minute. Well, then we'll steal your property. How do you like them apples? All of those things are abominations, and they're being taught, and people aren't objecting to them. They're not saying no. They're certainly not coming out of her. They're not walking the walk.
You know what? Here's the scary scenario. They don't know they're supposed to. Maybe nobody told them. Maybe somebody told them, you know, you better, you know, sit in that. You know, have you ever asked a priest or a pastor or a minister a question that they have a hard time
yes, as it turns out, I have.
Get upset about it?
Yes. I know that's shocking to some of the listeners, but yeah, I think most of us have.
Okay, so anyway, that you know, you start going against the institutional Christian narrative, it gets really uncomfortable out there. You know, because there's a way of being the Christianity is, or institutional Christianity is, if you act out, okay, that's the Christian Overton window. Okay, yeah, how about that? Christianity has this Overton window too, which is once again a projection onto the truth. No wonder we can't seem to agree on anything. All of our premises are flawed. And we're all coming from different places. We can't comprehend. We can't understand each other, which means that we're operating inside Babel or Babylon. So we've bought into the narrative of the world, Overton window. And no wonder this planet is so messed up. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I guess where I'm headed with all of this, and it's been something I have been pushing for so long, and I'll admit it really bugs me, and it gets me banned from various so-called Christian groups and other groups, because there are things in Scripture, whole bunches of things that the church just doesn't like, and I refer to it as the whore church, and they don't like being called what they are either, even though they're still in exile for exactly these reasons, for exactly this idolatry. You know, it might offend people. Well, what's funny to me, David, on this same website, there was a discussion not long ago about Paul. And, all Scripture is God-breathed and valuable, and how dare you say that there's some things Paul wrote, and I didn't, but others suggested that there were some things that Paul wrote that had been mistranslated, or as Peter Kefa said, have been twisted. And how dare you suggest that? But wait a minute. It's okay to say that all Scripture's God-breathed in one day, but when somebody comes and quotes Leviticus 23 and notes that Yeshua said he didn't change the tiniest part, not one yod or tittle of the Torah, or you can't quote that. You can't say these things. In other words, it's what's called doublethink. Groupthink, you mentioned earlier, and we've talked about this on this show, in the book of Yaakov, or James, he says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He better not expect anything from Yah, because he ain't going to get it. And that's the truth. We have a bunch of double-minded Christians that say, oh, I believe in Scripture. I believe it's all God-breathed, except for the parts that I don't want to read or talk about, because it makes me sound like I'm under the law, and I'm not under the law. Hell, I'm lawless, and my kids, they've got transgender cut off their breasts and genitalia to prove it. And then they wonder why it is that their kids are acting like, something that the Bible says is deserving of a death penalty.
Okay, I hope maybe I let some people off the hook with this. You know what the institutional church appears to not like the most? They don't like it when we grow. It's like when we start reading Scripture, we start, actually learning what's in Scripture, and we see things, and we go to talk to them about, a for perspective, something they didn't see, and the next thing you're getting the left boot of fellowship. We don't see that here, and so herein lies the problem: is we're made wrong. We're being made wrong to want to grow up in our understanding. We're being made wrong to want to come into the fullness of knowledge that has been promised to us. We're being made wrong for stepping outside the acceptable Christian narrative thing. Right, and that's what the institution does. It limits who we are. It doesn't facilitate the coming into who we are. Go ahead, Mark.
But that, David, honestly, that is the reason why it is, in fact, the whore church. It's really that simple. Because ultimately the whore church says, here's what's acceptable to believe, here's what you're allowed to talk about, here's the Overton window in this particular denomination of, the New Testament only, except only those parts that we like, and we don't want the other parts being taught here on Sun God Day. And how dare you suggest that there's anything pagan or idolatrous about what we've been doing. Here, take the bunnies and eggs and have a ham sandwich. We cannot believe that anybody could possibly accept something different than what we're teaching. And how dare you bring that Scripture thing in here? And we're going to outlaw it. We're going to like you said, shun you for daring to speak about it. And we're going to put you in a little ghetto. We've got a Jewish ghetto over here for people that believe Torah.
Okay,
we got a different ghetto. We doubled a bit. Go ahead.
the Christian, whoever they is, that decides what constitutes Christianity doesn't want us stepping outside that, okay? Because they have control of that. And so really the battle is really for control. Ultimately you got a lot of factions vying for control right now, okay? And that's what happens during a breakdown. Now you're going to see all the bidders, all the people that want to take some sort of control. And so as America breaks down, more and more factions are going to rise up, like the bully or the Klan that wants to challenge, for supremacy inside that narrative. And so what's our role in this? Our role in this is to tell the truth. To hell with the Overton window. We're told it's not people come out here and be separate. And where do we come from and where do we go to? We come into the consciousness that is the Messiah, that is you know, understanding who we are in the big picture of things, inside the truth with Yeshua as King.
Well, we're told, speak the truth boldly. One of the verses I like to quote, actually it's in there a bunch of times. You can look up and see how many times this appears in the Word. Do not keep silent. It's in the Psalms. It's all over the place. Matter of fact, even David invokes and suggests that to the Creator himself. Do not keep silent. But in fact, there was a time, and there is, where he's hidden his face because of the kind of crap that's going on today. And we've got about 5 minutes, David. I know you want to talk about something that's, in a way, it's kind of funny. You know, mere hypocrisy almost seems trivial compared to the level of evil that we're dealing with today. And I think that's the reason why my frustration has reached this point. But it's, there is a simple answer, and it's almost too simple. And the reason why I took this tack today is because we're coming up on this time where, depending upon which calendar and how you believe it's focused and whether or not it's the diaspora calendar based on Hillel and this idea we can calculate the new moon, in which case, the time of the new moon, which begins the countdown for the fall feast and arguably all of Revelation, that would be the end of Sunday on the 25th, which would essentially not be midnight. No, that would be sundown local time, wherever folks are. And the next day then would be Yom Teruah. They would blow the shofar. The countdown begins. All of those things. The point is the following. We can, in fact, recognize that the choice is ours. I don't give a blankety blank what the Overton window says. Maybe I'm supposed to move the Overton window by speaking the truth boldly, as we ought to. Do not keep silent. All of those kinds of things. Don't care whether people like it or not. I've quoted that great article by Albert J. Nock from literally about 80 years ago plus, where he said the message of the prophet essentially is tell them what I tell you to tell them. And the prophet speaks to the remnant. Well, the truth is, most people aren't part of the remnant. Most people aren't going to get it. Unfortunately, we don't like this, but most people aren't going to make it. They're going to die. They're going to die in their sin. So what can we do? What each of us can do is we can choose life. We have a choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. We can walk in obedience. And I don't have to ask anybody else's permission. I don't have to worry about what the Overton window is. Oh, yeah, they may shun me. You know, fear those who can kill the body. Nope, we're not told to do that either. We're supposed to walk in obedience to him. And that's the message, I think. We can, in fact, choose life. We have the choice. It's never been more clear. And I'll suggest that as we come into this time of the fall feast, it sure looks to me like things are building to a climax right here, almost like it's his timing, that it's going to build to a maximal climax during the fall feasts, starting with the blowing of the shofar, and then, of course, Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll see a stock market crash to commemorate some of these high holy days, the real ones. And remember, the time that's at the end of the fall feast here is almost certainly when Yeshua, the one that they don't know his name, they don't even know when he was born, they think it was in December on Mithra's birthday, he was really born during the time of the Feast of Sukkot. I am personally convinced, and I think you can demonstrate. So there is a lot we can do, David. That's the positive thing. And it's important we bear that in mind. And yeah, don't keep silent. Speak the truth and make the choice. Go ahead.
Well, wow. That was quite a roll you just got on. I don't know. That was said so well. I don't think I can improve on that, Mark.
Well, let's do this then, David. Let's talk about some of the other simple things that can help people to make the choice and to recognize it. I know one you said was your favorite. I'm pretty sure we may have talked about this, and I know I've talked about it on other shows. But one of the world's most foremost hypocrites, Hitlery herself, whose namesake, of course, is the other famous Nazi. She wants to run your life. She knows better than you. But referring to the fact that a fellow named DeSantis, governor down in Florida, dared to point out the level of hypocrisy and put just a tiny fraction, less than 1% of 1% of the illegal invaders on a plane and shipped them up to Martha's Vineyard, the stomping ground of the hoi polloi, those who are better than you, and the real 1% of the 1% who prattle about how open-minded and loving and accepting they are, and they're even a sanctuary city, except not for you. So they got rid of them within 48 hours, shipped them off to a military base, and that's the only way to end up in a military base, I guess, is to go to a liberal stronghold. But the irony is the following. Hitlery actually came out, and she said, How dare DeSantis do this? Because it's, quote, literally human trafficking. All right. Now, my response to that, I've said this before, is, hey, we can't argue with Hitlery, because if there's anybody on this planet who ought to know human trafficking, it's her. So if that's what she calls it, you know she knows. But beyond that, David, we have levels of hypocrisy like this that sometimes people won't recognize what's being done to their kids. And they won't recognize that they really do want them dead. And you need to look no further than all of the volumes of evidence to make that case. See how many are dropping over already. But there are things we can do. And sometimes that includes not just making the choice, but we can move the Overton window by ridiculing some of the damnably evil and even stupid stuff that these criminals say. Ridicule is a very powerful weapon, probably more powerful in a lot of respects than just pointing out the truth. Go ahead.
I wonder, is Hillary obtuse or is she stupid? Okay.
Neither. She's evil.
What motivated her? To want to inject her remember, she was at the center of the Overton window for a time, and when she ran for president, she was in the center of that Overton window, you know. Everybody's going along with it, and then here comes Trump. They never expected her to lose. And so now she's wanting to, so she's speaking to us from the point of that old Overton window, thinking, okay, what can I do to bring the sheep back into my fold, you know? And it appears either stupid or obtuse, or I don't know, that may be the limitation of her awareness anyway. So I just wanted to point out that I'm kind of laughing at Hillary like that.
Well, you should. You should be laughing and even ridiculing. But I think the honest bottom line here is, no, she's simply parroting what it is that her master, and hint, his name starts with either L or Hasatan or pick a letter, you know, Beelzebub. There's all kinds of letters that have been used to describe that same entity. But there are lots of people that are channeling that one. Hey, as we go out today, David, I just happened to think of an article that I saw by a guy that I get a kick out of, James Howard Kunstler, and it's called A Walk on the Wild Side. And it refers to that absolutely disgusting thing that was walking around at a school in Ontario, you know, with the beach ball sized fake boobs proclaiming it was a transgender and so forth. And what Jim Kunstler came out and said was, look, this is a bunch of, well, he used a tacky term, that people are being mind effed and goaded into humiliation and punishment, which they so richly deserve. But he came right out and said it. You know, you just can't look at this stuff without thinking something truly demonic is going on here. And when the window has moved so far that even some of the people who are pretty secular in general can't help but note it's demonic, that at least says something.
Well, it is demonic. And I don't know. That, to me, is an understatement, because it is so... Okay, it is a precursor to how they would rule the world should they successfully win this battle, okay? So if anything, it's a tell. It's telling us where they're coming from and how things will be. So we get to choose this, or we can choose what's on the other side. You know, we get to be parochial and, you know, go to church and, you know, sing songs. Is that really the offer? Or do we become the kings and priests of the Most High, as prophesied in Scripture, and take dominion of this planet, which we're ultimately prescribed to do? So,
amen.
So we get to choose this day who you will serve.
All right.
God,
well,
be God. If our Father, the Creator, be God, serve Him.
Thanks. Well, thanks, David, and thanks, folks. Shabbat shalom and Chag Sameach. We gotta be good.